Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. How can a demonstrated interest lead to career happiness? Today on Career Buzz, we explore one demonstrated interest in cycling and how it's led to satisfying careers in the lives of our five guests. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of Career Buzz. Glad that you have tuned in to Career Buzz this morning here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Cycling has always been a part of Kristen Schwartz's life. Her career story led to her work at CultureLink Settlement Services as the cycling outreach coordinator, matching newcomers with Toronto cyclists. This, after years working in jobs in media and communications. Stay tuned in a couple of minutes for Kristen's cycle through paid and volunteer work toward a job she loves. Darren Duke says he has the best job he's ever had as the Learning Enrichment Foundation's manager of Bixie Repair. We'll hear Darren's spin through employment gigs in retail, family business, distribution, maintaining spin class bikes, and teaching. As the bike educator with Evergreen, Shah Muhammad teaches safe cycling to kids. Keep listening for Shah's career path through a degree in neuroscience to volunteering in the bike community to teaching and health promotion. Vivian Leong is the Welcome Cyclists Network Manager at Transportation Options, a nonprofit dedicated to fostering sustainable travel and tourism. We'll take a spin through Vivian's career, including stints in publishing, film festivals, editing, and research, followed by graduate studies in bicycling as a sustainable transportation mode. And as Toronto Cyclist Union's Director of Membership and Outreach, Jared Kolb leads membership growth, manages Bike Valet and Tune Up Tuesdays, and coordinated the Bicycle Service Station. Jared's career story cycles from co-chair of the Halifax Cycling Coalition to the College of Sustainability at Dalhousie University and his own cross-Canada cycling expedition. But first, we speak to Kristen Schwartz. Here in studio, she's the Cycling Outreach Coordinator at CultureLink Settlement Services. Kristen, welcome to Career Buzz.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
What do you like about your career in life?
Well, this job is fantastic because it's just brought together so many interests of mine. Creating an inclusive and welcoming city, valuing the knowledge and experience that people bring here from all over the world, and promoting healthy activity, just being outside, and last but not least, challenging in some way the complacency about the environment that's so part of Canadian society.
Right on, really important these days.
Yeah.
So as the coordinator here, what do you do? Can you give listeners a bit of an overview of what your job entails?
Well, it's a really unique position that won't last forever. It's the product of a partnership between CultureLink Settlement Services, which provides services to newcomers, immigrants and refugees to Canada. Helps them find their way through the school system with different sectors of society, does employment workshops, that kind of thing. So that's CultureLink. And the other half of the partnership is the Toronto Cyclist Union, which
right.
You talked about before, which is an advocacy group. So it's a really interesting coming together of two organizations. And the mandate is to promote cycling to newcomers and encourage people who come from countries with strong cycling traditions to bring that experience to Toronto.
Is most countries, right? I mean, most countries, people are using the family vehicle as a car, is a bike and not a car. So it's pretty unusual. They leave the bike at home in Vietnam or China and then they come here. Why wouldn't they pick up a bike? But do they?
Well, any time that people move from one place to another, there's so much to learn about your new home and your new environment. I don't think people are coming to Canada expecting that they're going to keep riding a bike. I mean,
yes.
The image of North American society is very car-centered, you know. So obviously, it's natural that people expect that they're going to have a car when they come. But I think what we try to convey is that there's a growing number of people in Toronto who are adopting the bicycle instead for their everyday transportation as much as possible, and that's a choice that is available. Now, there are obviously, we know that the city is not cut out for bikes. It's not as good as it could be.
Not yet.
Exactly.
We're working on it.
It's not as good as it could be. But In my position, I do try and convey that it is, it can be a great way to get around if you're able to kind of take that step and get out on the road and learn to feel safe and comfortable on the road.
Now, this Bike Host program, you match up Toronto cyclists with newcomers. How does that work?
A CultureLink runs mentorship programs that have a long tradition in the settlement sector, where volunteers from the community step forward to be matched with newcomers, to show them around, to introduce them to their networks, to give them practical guidance or advice on accessing different, you know, services and opportunities in their new home. And in the latest incarnation of that, that happens in a group setting. So one volunteer would be matched with several newcomer participants. And for Bike Host, everybody is interested, at least, in riding a bike. So one of the shared activities that they have is cycling around the city,
nice.
Getting to know the city by bike.
Right.
And we ran the program for the first time in a sort of larger scale way last summer and got a lot of really good feedback that it was just some of the newcomer participants said they had no idea how they were going to spend their time in the summer. They're new to the country and they don't really know how to enjoy themselves and, what's on offer. And so Bike Host was a way for them to kind of connect with the life of the city in that way. I mean, there's more to it than that, but that's something I think your listeners can relate to.
Right on. Great idea. We're talking to Kristen Schwartz. She's the cycling outreach coordinator at CultureLink Settlement Services. Here on Career Buzz, I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM. In your own career, Kristen, what skills or strengths do you draw on, especially now in this CultureLink role, to be a success? What is drawn from you each day that makes you feel good?
Well, I think what I'm learning from this, you know, it's interesting. CultureLink does a lot of work with newcomers around how to get into the career that you want when you arrive in Canada. And of course, we understand that there are so many institutional barriers to people practicing their profession, both for newcomers and for many people within the city itself, who are, you know, grew up in Toronto. So there are a lot of barriers. But I think that one thing that's been really important for me has been being active in the community in different ways for the last 20 years, like as a volunteer. And that's one thing that CultureLink really promotes is gaining volunteer experience, which is not an idea that's common in everywhere in the world at all. It's very, it seems like it's kind of specific to Canada and probably, you know, some other places as well. But so being active in the community and taking the opportunities to learn skills as a volunteer has been really central to my career path. And then kind of bringing that together with, you know, things that I learn on the job has just led to this great job that I have right now.
How far back does your interest in cycling go in your life?
Well, I mean, I grew up mostly in the suburbs of Toronto and started biking downtown and around the neighborhood when I was in high school. And I never got a driver's license. So for me, it's just part of my life, you know. And I never thought about it as something that I could be working in or working to promote. But as I've developed in the job, I've really come to see how it's connected to so many other things. A city that is built for bikes and for pedestrians is one that values everybody, not just the people who can afford to have a car. And so it's about equity, you know? And a city that... Well, what else? I think the other important thing about it is it's a chance to be outside on a regular basis.
Right on.
Which, you know, in a city, you don't think about that if you're not doing it. But we are so reliant on the natural systems of our world, on the weather, on the water, on the sun, to be on your bike or walking as part of your everyday transportation helps you stay in touch with that, even if you're doing most of your work inside, as most of us are.
So it's interesting to hear a personal experience of cycling like you. You cycled all over the place in high school, and here you are actually working in it. And I think that's the sort of theme we're trying to explore a bit on today's show, is how does this actually happen, where an interest or something that just seems so natural becomes your career, as opposed to the things that people think of when they go into school and they think, oh, I'm going to be an accountant or an engineer or one of these things. So it's interesting to hear that. Can you maybe share a turning point or two in your story that might illustrate how a move from something maybe more traditional or some other career has ultimately led to the present moment?
Well, in university, I did all the pre-med requirements. I wanted to go into the medical profession. But when I finished my BA, then I started, I didn't want to go back to school right away. So I took a year. I was working actually on housing issues and with the co-op housing movement, and started volunteering with a community-based, youth-based, anti-racist group, just following my heart, basically. So I had a day job, but I was doing this activism and sort of community work on the side. And that's what led me into working in community radio. I used to work for many years at CIUT's former sister station, CKLN, over at Ryerson.
Right, which has had some twists and turns in its own story, shall we say, over the years.
Yeah, they're still online at CKLN.fm. And we hope that Ryerson will be back on the air. That was one turning point, I suppose, realizing that I didn't actually want to go back to school for years and years and years, and just wanted to sort of get into my life, you know.
So it's amazing. I mean, people might be thinking as they're listening, yeah, I have a career plan. I'm going to go into medicine or engineering. And then following your heart, as you said, and you started to volunteer. How was it for you to let go of that former career dream or idea and move into something that you hadn't anticipated at all?
That's a good question. I don't think I had any regrets. I mean, now when I look at it, I think, oh, well, what's my job security like? You know, what am I going to be doing after this contract is over? You know, what's the next thing? So there's definitely a cost to, you know, to following your heart. But, you know, there's not a lot of security for anybody these days, really. So I think, you know, my experience is that, you know, I've been able to make it work, you know, for myself. And I've never made a lot of money. But that hasn't been as important to me as doing something that really interests me and makes me feel connected to the people in my community.
And it's interesting to hear that, you know, it's the money and the security, and you make this point in the 21st century here. I think we're all dealing with quite a changeable world and a career world. And if you love something and if you really care about it, do you think that that inspires you to stay vibrant, keep learning, you know, develop so that you don't become obsolete, you know, as opposed to somebody who maybe says, I'm going to do it because this is the right thing to do and I'll be an accountant. I'm just picking on accounting now, but I'll just do it. But if they don't really care about it, they might not keep sharp, they might not keep learning, and they might become obsolete in any field. Whereas if you really love something, you kind of stay connected, you volunteer, you get involved, and it kind of makes your career more vibrant and resilient. Is that true for you?
I mean, I suspect that's true. And I think that people who are working in sort of more established fields can make tremendous contributions to their communities, you know, through their work and on their own time as well. And again, no matter what field you're in, I think that being involved in the community is the way to stay current and to, you know, be looking for your next step. I would advise anybody to, you know, really try and, you know, keep in touch with what's going on in your neighborhood, meet people that you don't know, that you're not meeting through your work or your family.
And volunteer. It sounds
volunteer,
like volunteering in your own career has,
you know,
really been
seize
key.
Those opportunities, yeah, to learn as a volunteer and do things that you can't get paid for yet, but maybe one day you will.
If listeners do want to find out more about CultureLink and the Bike Host program, how do they do that?
You can just visit us at culturelink.ca or else bikeunion.to/partnership. And we are recruiting bike hosts right now, and we'll be having orientation sessions this coming Saturday and also in March. So if anything I've said about that is of interest, please do get in touch. You can also email me at cycling@culturelink.ca.
And it, just before you wrapped up there, Kristen, you said one thing you'd advise people about volunteering. If I can ask you one thing that maybe you've learned from your own career story that you could share with listeners about making good choices, especially career-related choices, what's one thing you could share with listeners about that?
That's a big question.
It's a big question.
One thing. I'm convinced that, you know, the environmental sector is a growing sector, and it's one way that people can, you know, be thinking about their future is thinking about the future of our city and our planet, and tying our own futures into that larger picture. So I think that work in sustainable transportation, more efficient buildings, reducing waste, renewable energy, water conservation, all of those fields are, you know, if we have a future at all, collectively or individually, it's going to be connected to those things. So that's where that's the basket I'm putting my eggs in.
Nice. Thanks, Kristen Schwartz, the CultureLink Cycling Outreach Coordinator. Stay tuned. We're going to have Kristen join us towards the end of the show as we continue on through our guests who have an interest in cycling. And we're going to pick up the threads of that with our next guest, who is Jared Kolb. He's the Toronto Cyclists Union Director of Membership and Outreach. Jared, do we have you on the phone? Jared, check in. 1, 2, you there? We're going to be talking to Jared Kolb. He's the Director of Membership and Outreach for the Toronto Cyclists Union. He's been leading membership growth and also managing the Bike Valet and Tune-Up Tuesdays over at the Toronto Cyclists Union, where there is also the bicycle service station. Maybe some of you have seen it cycling around town, big orange tent where there's all kinds of helpful things being given out there. Jared, have we got you on the line? Yeah, no, sorry, we're just a couple of technical difficulties here.
I can jump in if you want and say a bit more about the bike union.
Well, that's right, Kristen, because you've been deeply involved with the Toronto Cyclists Union. So why don't you just introduce us to the bike union?
Well, it's a great concept. It's a member-based advocacy organization. So the big focus for the bike union right now is developing that member base. So Jared's work is really central there. And the other half of the team, of course, is Andrea Garcia, who works on advocacy and operations for the union.
Great, thanks. Jared Kolb, have you got you on the line?
Hey there, Mark.
Thanks for joining us here on Career Buzz. Kristen Schwartz was just doing a little overview of the Cyclists Union while we were waiting for you to get online.
Oh, great. Right on.
So as the Membership and Outreach Director at the Toronto Cyclists Union, what do you like about what you're doing?
Oh, boy. What a question. I think what I really love most about what I'm doing is having the opportunity to interact with people and hear their stories about cycling in the city, and then together build an organization capable of having a real impact on the city. The organization, you know, is the Toronto Cyclists Union, is really about transforming Toronto from being a car-dominated city to, you know, becoming a more people-oriented city. And so I really love being a part of that.
Nice. And what does a director of membership and outreach actually do? What does a typical week look like for you?
Typical week. It's my role is central around growing the membership of the bike union, both individual members and business members as well. We're currently sitting around just over 1,900 members. And effectively, the reason why we're focused so heavily on growing our membership is that the more people that we represent, the louder our voice becomes at City Hall when it comes time to, you know, shape campaigns and demand change in the city. So that's a big part of my role.
Right on. Now, I'm going to ask you more about that in a minute, but I want to focus in on your career story and your personal strengths that you use. You know, one of the recipes for career happiness is having the chance to use your strengths daily at work. Mm-hmm. What are a couple of the strengths that you get to use daily at work?
Well, for a long time now, I've been focused on community building. I see, you know, community as, you know, an answer to, I think, a lot of the problems that, you know, modern society faces. And so t- to be a good community builder, I think, and a community organizer, one really has to listen to what people are saying, listen to what the wants and the demands of people are. And so for me, I consider myself a reasonable listener, but really focused on interacting with people and using that as, the basis for, for instance, growing this organization. So that interaction, I think that's something that I absolutely love about my job.
That's great, and it's really helpful to hear it in context. People have so much difficulty articulating their strengths, and they say all these crazy things on their resumes, but it's really important to hear, in the context in which you're doing it. You can say you're a good listener, and those are just two words, but how powerful that is when you put it in the context of you trying to listen to the city and listen to prospective members and growing the membership. So thanks for sharing that strength.
Yeah, you bet.
Now, your personal interest in cycling seems to go way back. You've done a cross-Canada cycling trip, which is a big deal, and you've been involved in all kinds of things. What led to your interest in cycling?
Yeah, well, I guess, like so many people, we the bike union is built on its volunteers. Like we wouldn't be able to do what we do without our 150 to 200 active volunteers, and we always start our volunteer training with a simple question, which is why do you ride a bike, and what are your earliest memories? So it's a really good question. For me, it goes back to those early days being 5 and 6, and riding a bike, and that a bike as that first means of independence as a child, and it was amazing. Now, fast forward a few years, and you're right, that Cross Canada cycling trip had a huge impact. I mean, it was 3 months, 7,500 kilometers coast to coast, and for what it's worth, if 4 months before the bike trip, I didn't own a bicycle. So it was one of those things that a really good friend of mine and I, we were done our master's degrees, and we said, let's go have an adventure. Let's be bold. Let's do something, exciting, and let's go see the world. So that really shaped my career direction. I had no idea at the time that I was going to do that, but it did in huge ways.
So that's really interesting, that you had no idea that it was going to impact your career direction. And I think a lot of listeners might be interested in whatever. They're interested in food or foreign films, and you're interested in cycling. And
yeah.
And then these interests turn into careers, and it's just this amazing thing that nobody can really figure out, and it's hard to connect the dots. And, to listen to, somebody might say, gee, Jared always knew that he wanted to be a, director at the Toronto Cyclists Union. Can you connect the dots for us, and, just in a couple of minutes, and maybe walk us through some turning points that were relevant, maybe from that bike trip that you mentioned, which mm-hmm. seemed to kind of inspire your interest in cycling to the present moment. What are a couple of dots that you can connect for listeners?
It's interesting going back to that bike trip. We started in Vancouver, and Vancouver, I had no idea about bicycle infrastructure, and little did I know at the time that I was starting out this trip, or that we were starting out this trip in arguably one of the best cycling cities in the country. And from there, it was this adventure across the country that really opened, I think, my eyes to how, in some cases, dangerous cycling can be. So here we are, really enjoying this amazing adventure, and yet at the same time having some really harrowing moments, being passed by transport trucks on the, Trans-Canada Highway, and beyond. So I think that had a huge impact on, opening my eyes. And what that really led to was trying to communicate and share, I think, a passion for the simple joy of riding a bike, and wanting to connect with people through that, through a variety of channels. But I recognize that most people don't want, are too afraid to get on a bike. They're afraid because they perceive the roads to be dangerous. And so that led me, when I was finished with the bike trip, I moved to Halifax with my partner and started work and helped form a cycling advocacy organization there called the Halifax Cycling Coalition. And so that I was a part of that as a volunteer, and it was a really important component in the overall story, in that it was a method to really, start to get my hands dirty in terms of advocacy work.
Yes.
And improving cycling conditions on the road. So that's an important piece. And from there,
Can I just check with you there when you did that? That, you know, that's a big deal to start an advocacy organization in a city like Halifax. At that point, were you thinking to yourself, you know, cycling and being involved in cycling is part of my future career? Were you saying that to yourself, or was it still a volunteer gig which you felt strongly about, but it was sort of off the radar screen in terms of a career future?
Yeah, totally off the radar. I wasn't imagining it as a career future at all. Here I was, you know, I'd finished my master's degree, thinking about becoming a professor, wanting to go do a PhD, involved in creating a new program called the College of Sustainability at Dalhousie University, and so gaining a lot of skills around project management. But no, I wasn't thinking about cycling as a career.
So when did that come on stream there? When did that, gee, maybe this is actually a career and I won't be a professor. Like, we heard Kristen and she let go of a dream of being a doctor, and we hear that all the time on Career Buzz. So what was the process of letting go of that career idea and embracing what you're doing now?
You know, in some ways I think it had to do with helping to create the College of Sustainability at Dal. I was working with so many professors at the time, and I like to put professors kind of into two camps. And you know, there are a variety of them that are really passionate and really want to connect with students and really promote learning, and then there are others that, well, I think they sometimes are so focused on their research and they're not focused on the wider community. I recognize that I really wanted to be focused on the wider community. So my partner and I, we left Halifax in 2009 to come back to Toronto. We walked the Camino de Santiago in Spain in the meantime. And then when I got to Toronto, that's when I really made the decision. You know, I want to focus on at least making cycling a part of my career.
Great. You know, there's a big story there, and if we had time, I'd ask you more about it. But we just have a minute or two more. Let me ask you, from the twists and turns in the story that you've been telling us here, what's one or two things you can share with listeners about what you've learned about making good career and life choices?
Yeah, I think what's really important is, you know, to make a really good career choice is, you know, you want to focus on something that, you know, that makes you happy, and that you can get paid to do. And when you really ask yourself that, though, that's a hard question, and it forces you to come to terms potentially with, you know, issues that you've been facing in your career trajectory. I think I'd really encourage listeners to be bold and to think big. It's going to take time, but at the same time, you know, it's worthwhile. That journey is really worth it, and career happiness, I think, is really, really important.
Right on. Thanks for sharing that. Jared, if people want to find out more about the Toronto Cyclists Union, or if they want to become a member, how do they do that?
They can go to bikeunion.to/join, or they can head over to bike shops in town like Curbside or Urbane or Hoop Driver and pick up a membership there.
Awesome. Thanks, Jared, so much for joining us here on Career Buzz. And stay tuned while you're at work there, and I appreciate you taking the time out. We'll have a bit of a roundup towards the end of the show, and if there's a comment or question, feel free to dial in or email.
Sounds great.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mark.
We've been talking to Jared Kolb. He's the Membership and Outreach Director at the Toronto Cyclists Union. Here on Career Buzz, I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're just about halfway through the show. We have three more amazing guests lined up for you right after the break. But first, we do have a piece of music. And Kristen, who we spoke to earlier in the show, has brought in a piece of music. Kristen, what did you bring in for us, and what's it all about?
This is a kind of classic community radio track from the 1990s by The Fire This Time, a Toronto-based but very international collective of artists. And the track is called I Love the Future, and it features the voice of African-American liberation fighter Assata Shakur.
Here's I Love the Future.
That's for everybody. Well, you know, you can have a bowl on the So sit down and have some. Not that you have to hoard it or you have to watch your back to see who's going to take it away from you, but an open, free up future. And I feel that part of my of loving myself, part of being myself, is feeling that I'm woman enough, human being enough to make that, you know, whether it's cooking it in my kitchen, cooking up in on a piece of paper, whether it's cooking it up on in the way I see things and the way I do things. I believe in loving the future, loving it enough to make it, and make it real. I believe in that, yeah. Okay. You know, it's like, I know I love John Coltrane. I know I love, you know, black beans and rice. I know I love my baby. I know I love my mama. Those are concrete loves that I can expand and say I love, you know, people from all places, all in the planet. And that's an abstract love, but it's a real love. It's universal. It's, you know, it's something that I'm working on trying to make stronger, trying to make bigger, trying to make heavier, you know. But I think that one of the loves that's hardest to see is loving the future. I love the future, you know. I want to understand the past, and I work on it constantly, trying to understand. And I work on trying to understand the future, but I don't want to be here, you know.
And we're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on a cycling edition of the show on CIUT 89.5 FM. Before moving on to our next interview, I want to let listeners know about the Enriching Lives and Careers trip to Nicaragua, a service learning experience, Feb 23 to March 2nd. Last chance to get on board, build a transitional house alongside the family who will live there, connect with locals, enjoy excursions, including some cycling, and meet remarkable change makers. Last chance to register, check Enriching Travels at careercycles.com. We're going to talk right now to Darren Duke, who says he's got the best job he's ever had as the Learning Enrichment Foundation's manager of Bixi Repair. Darren, welcome to Career Buzz.
No, thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks for joining us here today. I know it's been a busy day there. Yeah. What do you like about your career these days?
I guess it's, working with the people in general. I work with a lot of people on social services, really trying to help them kind of get along in the next step in their life as well, and tying it into my industry and the cycling industry into retail, and for the job placements. That's more through my BAM program, the Bicycle Assembly and Maintenance Program, and then Bixi kind of came afterwards. Bixi itself, just started up in April. We had a whole 30 days to kind of get ourselves together and get it going. For the whole repair program. But, you know, in general, right now it's in between the Bixi, which was, a learning curve in itself, and you know, really for putting the public bicycle transportation out there. I think that's something the city really needed. So it was something, it was something new, it was fresh, it was, something that, definitely wanted to be a part of. And that's kind of a lot of what my job is kind of new challenges. And I think that's what I really grasped onto.
And listeners might be interested. You actually have the Bixi Repair contract, is that right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have it with the city. We tied in with the city. They're, again, through the cycling ambassador, more or less, for the city, Sean Weldrake. And, I've known him throughout the industry and bike shows and everything else. And it was just, a good fit, I think, for what we create here at the Learning Enrichment Foundation with the BAM program and basically utilizing some of the graduates to work for Bixi, and then it's creating jobs. It's at the same time, it's with the program itself, it's helping LEF. It's something that, we're very proud of here at LEF as well. We are a training facility, but stuff like this, again, if we can tie it into our students and anybody that comes through LEF, we're definitely doing our job on that.
Right, LEF being the Learning Enrichment Foundation.
Yes, exactly.
So take me back here. What led to your personal interest in cycling?
Oh, oh boy, it's almost like I didn't have a choice. You know, my family itself has been in the industry. We're just celebrating our coming up to our 95th year in business, Duke Cyclone Queen and Bathurst, in which we just reopened this spring.
When you say we, Darren, who can you tell listeners who? What's the connection there? How does that all that work?
Oh, it's basically it's my immediate family. So you know, my grandfather started it in 1914, and then my father ran it. Now my brother runs it, and you know, but again, we all kind of. There's four brothers, and we all kind of always have pitched in. We've always worked there, and some, you know, one way or another, you know, either helping with, you know, maintaining the building or being part of it. You know, I still race my bicycle through Duke's, and I utilize my brother through my program here for, you know, the bikes for assembly, and he's only been great, along with all the retailers within the city that I deal with. They've all been really great towards the program, but
so you've had cycling deep in your personal history there. Yeah. Now, listeners might be interested about the family business thing. You know, some people might have family businesses, that are sort of circling around. You know, should I be in it? Should I not be in it?
Yeah.
How did that work for you? Was there pressure to join it, or was it easy to just take off because you have done a number of other things?
Yeah. No, at the beginning it was kind of like in about grade eight, it was Friday nights after school and all day Saturdays, and it was just more or less my dad needed the help in the shop and basically needs some bodies in there and stuff. I think my passion's always been there for cycling. I've always kind of raced bikes. It's been there for me. It's always been there. And I think when I got involved, you know, especially during the summers after school, you know, in the summer holidays and stuff, that, you know, I'm working closely with my brothers and stuff, you know, we had a lot of fun, you know, building up Dukes for what it is today as well. So, you know, in between that of, it was just kind of one of those natural fits. I've always been so enthusiastic in regards to, you know, a lot of mechanical things as well. So, you know, it's been a path that I've always been quite passionate about. Again, I don't have a driver's license. I never needed to, just because of living downtown.
It's a bit of a theme on today's show.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's been. You know, the ride's been a lot of fun, and it's true, but after a while, working with family, it can get a little bit difficult.
So what happened? Did you do other things? Was it easy for you to take off? You know, what's a turning point or two in your story?
Yeah, I guess, you know, that one turning point is that there was a job opportunity in distribution, and it was basically, again, my brother was right behind me saying, you know, he was actually the one that said, hey, you should really go and try for this job and go for the job, and it was with a local distributor here, and they distribute high-end products, and it was that fit. And then I ended up staying for 13 years.
So this was a bike distributor, is that right?
A bike distributor. Bikes, clothing, shoes, the whole bit. So, you know, they were a great company, and that, you know, I got to build a lot of great bikes for a lot of Canada's top athletes, and, you know, I just in between the industry, and that's where I got my basis of knowing everybody within the industry is working in the distribution of bike shows and working with the retailers on all aspects of the business. So it, you know, from there, after about 13 years, it ran its course as much as anything. You take kind of one thing, and I was just getting a little bit, you know, I needed something a little different. So with my brother, who's, again, kind of said, hey, I really need a mechanic. So, you know, I went back for the summer, and it was very educational for the whole fact of what's happening in the industry right now. It has changed over the last even 5 years of, you know, besides bike technology, but just, you know, how business is changed itself. So that kind of popped up, and again, it was just through the industry itself, in which, you know, the Bicycle Trade Association of Canada backs my course as a qualified mechanical course.
When you say course, which course are you talking about?
The Bicycle Assembly and Maintenance, my BAM course.
So, right, the one there. So, and how did this latest job come up? Was this right after going back to Duke's and working?
Yeah, exactly. They were looking for a new instructor through here, and again, it was through word of mouth, and I did a little teaching at Humber College in the sports equipment program as well. So I already had that kind of taste of how to go about it.
Right.
And they let me free. They let me do how I thought it should be run, developed worked on the curriculum with it, with the existing one, and we've moved forward. We're, you know, and then in between that, then the Bixie came on board, and we're opening up a youth community bicycle shop up the street. For, you know, so something that it's been, they've just allowed me to flourish of,
that sounds,
of any of ideas that I
That's great.
Had. Yeah.
And the youth cycling connection, it's so interesting. What I've heard recently also, the Toronto District School Board has actually had its first 4-credit
yes.
course
yes.
For bicycle maintenance. I think it was at, does anybody know what school it was?
It's on Shaw Street or I forget
Central,
the name.
Central Commerce.
Central
Collegiate.
Commerce.
Yeah.
What an innovative thing. So parents,
yeah.
send your kids to Central Commerce if you want them to get an education.
yeah.
And credit, finally. Like, why didn't this happen sooner?
Exactly. So, you know, it's something, you know, especially for kids and they're you know, going through the youth themselves and they're still going through school, but during
yes.
the summer they can actually, you know, have a job. And work within the industry and then, you know, follow their passion towards it as well. So.
And what about the big fire, Darren? I mean, most
yeah,
listeners
that,
are
that
familiar
was,
with that. How was that for you and your family?
Yeah, that was a little surreal. You know, actually standing there and watching it on CP24 in the morning and say, hey, that's a couple doors down. Hey, that's even closer. Hey, it's right next door. And then by the time I got there, we're just, you know, watching, you know, carbon fiber and rubber makes pretty colors.
Wow.
In flames and stuff, but...
You're talking about it in a very lighthearted fashion, but
yeah,
it must have been a very big deal.
Yeah, it was devastating at the time. That was, you know, 3 years ago, so
yes.
we can only look back on it now and kind of, you know, you would never think something like this would ever happen. But it does, you know, and it was within that, you know, I think it was in 45 days, Duke's reopened at Richmond and Spadina.
Amazing.
And, you know, and that was just with staff, and again, that's where it all kind of, you know, everybody pitched in and we got it going. And, you know, if anything, we came out of it. You know, we've built a brand new building. The store is it's not what it used to be, but a big part of the history is still there within, you know, a lot of old photographs and a lot of still of the history of the store is still felt in there.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a, you know, it's out of the phoenix, out of the flames, you know, more or less.
It has risen from the ashes.
Ashes, yeah. And so it's, we can kind of look back on it now and kind of go, yeah, it was awful, but, you know, at the same time that, hey, we've got a brand new building
yeah.
too, so,
nice.
You know, it worked out.
So from these twists and turns in your story, Darren, and it sounds like it's been kind of coming and going with the family business and all of that. What can you share with listeners about what you've learned about making good career and life choices?
You know, with me, it was the you know, I've always had the passion. I've always had the drive towards the bicycle industry itself. It was that part was easy. I think I've been very lucky in life to be able to, you know, have some good people around me within the whole industry and that I've worked with. And to, you know, if anything, this job, when I still remember walking in the first day and not knowing what to see and what it was all about, and when I said this job is, I already accepted in my head that okay, Hein, this is so my job, you know. And it
you
was,
just have a feeling. That's an
oh,
important
yeah.
feeling. You got to listen to those feelings.
Oh yeah, and it really was, and it was something that I knew in my heart, and it's right across my board. My wife says it every day to me. It's like, you know, this is such, this is so you, you know. Out of all the bike stuff that you've ever done, this seems like this is really what you're all about.
Well, you sound pretty happy, Darren.
Yeah,
thanks for sharing your story here. If listeners
Thank
want
you.
To find out more about the Learning Enrichment Foundation and your programs there, how do they do that?
They can reach me directly at darren.duke@lefca.org. And then we can either that or at LEF, the Learning Enrichment Foundation, .org. I think it's info at Learning Enrichment Foundation. Or Google us, and it pops up pretty quick, too, under the BAM.
That's great.
Under the BAM course as well.
Darren Duke, thank you so much for joining us here on Career
Thank
Buzz.
You very much for having me, Mark.
We've been talking to Darren Duke. He's the Learning Enrichment Foundation's manager of Bixie Repair and the BAM program as well. And yet another person who has taken an interest in cycling and turned it into a career that he loves. And that's the theme here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Do you have an experience of turning an interest into a career, whether it's cycling or food or film or something? Drop me a line. Send me a note here at mark@careercycles.com, or you can call in at 416-946-7000. and we'll see if we can get you on the air to talk about that. So again, do you have a story of having your interest turn into a career, especially if it's cycling, but even if it's not, what is that story? Mark@careercycles.com or 416-946-7000. We're joined now by Shah Muhammad. He is the bike educator with Evergreen and teaches safety cycling to kids. Shah, welcome to Career Buzz.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the air.
Sure thing. Now, what do you do over there at Evergreen?
So I initially started at Evergreen in 2010 as the bike educator, and essentially I was hired in to build out a shop, which is now called Bike Works, and run programming for the year. And we did that, and it was very successful, and Evergreen wanted to keep going with it. So we have the Bike Works now kind of running as an ongoing program here at the Evergreen Bike Works, which offers safety training to community partners and school groups that come down to the site, as well as mechanics training for again, community partners, but as well as the general public, so they can come and volunteer and get some hands-on mechanics kind of training, and then volunteer using those skills and helping other people to fix and maintain their bikes in the shop.
Great. Now, just to be clear, Evergreen, if people want to know where that is, if they haven't been there, what is it? Where is it?
It's located at 550 Bayview Avenue, which is kind of just in the heart of the trail system. And it's so close to downtown, it's kind of deceiving in the sense of when you're down here, you don't even realize that you're actually in Toronto anymore. You're surrounded by forest. So it's just off. If you came down Rosedale Valley Road and then went north, you would run into it. Or if you came in through a Milkman's Run, which is kind of just off of Sherburn and Bloor, head north and then come over to South Drive, and you drop down on that trail, it takes you right in to the Evergreen Brickwork. So it's just off Bayview.
It's just
going north up on Bayview. You can see it off the highway.
Right on. It's just such a great place. I go down there all the time. I cycle through there. I walk through there. I actually love it. It's just this great little serene park in the middle of the city.
Right on.
So amazing place there. What do you draw on? What strengths or skills do you draw on to be successful in your career, or at least your job there at Evergreen?
Well, I think everything that that I've come into in my experience in life, you draw on when you're doing this type of work. It's very related to people and programming. So your direct face to face interaction. And so much of the work that I've done in any type of instructional role or facilitation definitely comes into play. Management comes into play heavily. I used to run a valet company while I was in university, and managing 50 staff and doing payroll and the accounting and all the back end of that. Those skills come in. The IT stuff kind of comes in as well. Anything technical that I've been exposed to all come in. So it's almost like pretty much everything that I've gone through in my life, I draw on every facet or different facets of those things, and definitely bolster my work ethic and my work here at Evergreen in this role. It's so dynamic, so diverse almost.
Wow, so it's a lot of things. So did you say valet or ballet?
Valet, as in driving cars.
Valet, right. I was thinking, like, what did he say there?
Well, I'm probably the only one, or maybe not the only one, but one of the ones who have a driver's license and do have driven cars in my past in relation to the others that have been on the show.
Well, for the record, I'm involved in the cycling community also, and I also have a driver's license, so I'm one of those others. But it sounds like we're about 50-50 so far on the show here. So how far back does your interest in cycling go, Shah?
Well, I used to ride since I was a kid. I think most people have the experience of actually, you know, being having a bicycle as their first set of wheels to get around. But I loved it when I was a kid. My first bike was a BMX, and I think I got it when I was maybe 7 years old, and I learned to ride that same year. And it's always been in my life. And I remember finding a white 10-speed and riding that for a couple of years, and then always kind of been there. I remember going out on long trips, going down to the Leslie Street Spit when I used to live up at Jane and Finch, and riding, you know, long distances. So it's kind of always been in my life. It really took a turn when I was involved in the valet company, and I knew I wanted to be involved in some sort of community work and community advocacy. And I ended up going up to Hamilton, of all places, to engage their community, because they had a really neat group that was based out of the university there. And they kind of, it's started from there. And when I got into the community there, they said, "Hey, you know what? Bike Pirates is actually in Toronto, and they do very similar work as we do." So I got involved in Bike Pirates in Toronto, and I kind of went from there.
You went and studied neuroscience at university. Did you have another career plan when you were going to university that might have been something different than being involved in cycling for your career?
I did. I was heavily involved in tech, so auto mechanics and electrical is what I took in high school, and then I went on to Seneca College to do computer engineering tech, and then went to George Brown for programming. So my background is very technical in nature, and I was hoping to move into a technical field, and I did for a while, but didn't find very much satisfaction in it.
Right. So it's interesting about these career ideas we've had. I think each of the guests have said a little bit about that, and there was this sort of parallel track of something else going on while this area of interest, and often it starts with volunteering, and it sounds like it did with you as well.
It does. It does. And I think volunteering is probably one of the best, if not the best, way to explore ideas and really get a feel for, you know, the different skill sets and the different fields that you may want to work in and what jobs actually look like. Because what we think jobs look like from the outside, they're actually not that when you get into them.
Surprise. Everybody in the studio here is nodding their head up and down while you say that, Sean. I think that's a really important point. It's not what you expect, right? So it's really important to check it out. We just have a moment more. Can I ask you to summarize maybe based on what your story has taught you, what the twists and turns in your career story has taught you about making good career and life choices?
Okay. Have a plan. Always have a plan, but be flexible and willing to change. Because life will throw you curveballs, and you got to be able to adapt to it. So have some semblance of a plan. Mentorship. I think mentorship is really, really, really key. In this time and age, we somehow overlook the idea that people who are older than us have trotted paths that we're now starting down. They're an immense resource for us to be able to tap into. And so if you have a mentor or multiple mentors, they can definitely give you advice and guidance and even connections and networks that will ease or grant flow to your career path.
That's great.
And then the last point that I would say there is choose your education very wisely, because what you're paying for, you are paying for that education, and it is an investment, because that education is a return. When you do educate yourself in a particular field, then that is going to become your job or will add to your experience so that you will, you know, obtain some form of job. So choose that wisely, so that, you know, I mean, I've heard stories of people investing, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in a particular career like med school or something, and then they realize that once they're there, they don't want to do that.
True enough. So, Shaw, great. If people want to find out more about Evergreen and the bike program there, how do they do that?
Yeah, the bike works. So you can check Evergreen out online. It's ebw.evergreen.ca. The Bike Works will be open this year from May to October. And I encourage you to come down and check out the trail system and check out the actual site down here. It's pretty amazing.
Great. Sean Muhammad, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
That was Sean Muhammad. He's the cycling coordinator at Evergreen. Talking to us here on a cycling edition of Career Buzz, I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Vivian Leong is the Welcome Cyclists Network Manager at Transportation Options, which is a nonprofit dedicated to fostering sustainable travel and tourism. And she joins me live in studio. Vivian, welcome to Career Buzz.
Hi, thanks for inviting me, Mark.
So thanks for sticking around as we listen to all those stories. First of all, what do you do over at Transportation Options?
My title is Welcome Cyclist Network Manager, and that's one of the projects of Transportation Options. Welcome Cyclist Network is a program where we bring together businesses interested in cycle tourism to create like a regional cycle tourism project within different areas of Toronto and all across Ontario. So it works to certify businesses and organizations, sort of food services, restaurants, B&Bs, hotels, bike stores, destination attractions, so that they are made bicycle friendly for cyclists, and that it shows the benefits to people all across Ontario, the economic benefits of cycling, as well as give cyclists a place where they can expect a high level of service and standards.
If we had time, I'd love to talk about the economic benefits of cycling, because that's a fascinating topic. But let me focus in on your career story. What do you like about what's going on there for you in your career at Transportation Options?
What's fun is that it's really positive. I've been in a lot of advocacy work over the last few years in cycling and a pedestrian realm and city planning issues, and it always seems like such a battle for cyclists, you know, to say we need infrastructure, that there are benefits to improving the streets for us, for pedestrians, and to make it understood why we should save a strip of roadway for us, right, what that is. And then when you get into a workshop environment, we just did one in Durham Region. We had more than 70 people attend. We had the mayor from Ajax attend, who's an enthusiastic cyclist. We had tourism coordinator from Northumberland, who's just rolling with it. And everybody says, wow, this is great. You know, how can I sign up? You know, what can we do? How can we bring cyclists? And it's just like, this is so fun.
Fun is good. And you're smiling a lot when you're saying it. So it sounds like you found your groove, because it's true. You can even be interested in one area like cycling. We're talking about all these different ways to do it. And some can be kind of going with the flow, and some can be obviously against the flow. So good for you. You found the flow.
Yeah.
Now, how far back in your life does your interest in cycling go?
I like most people, I think I was, you know, cycling as a child for fun, but I don't have that sort of dedication, like seeing it as a path all my life. I remember bringing a bike up when I lived in Prince George to get around, because it was either bicycling or taking a bus. But I wasn't cycling regularly until really I got to Toronto. Soon after I moved here, I lived in Davisville area, and there was a cycle store near me, and I thought, oh, I should get a bike. It beats taking the bus all the time. To me, it's convenient, it's faster, it's cheaper. And so I got a bike. And then to me, it was just transportation. There wasn't anything political about it. It wasn't a statement against anything. And over the years, it seems like it has become a statement, just because people see that as such. But I use it to get groceries. I use it to move things around.
Right, basic transportation, yeah, as opposed to any kind of special choice. Now, you've done a lot of different things in your career leading up to this, including a graduate degree in bicycling as a sustainable transportation mode. What led to that graduate degree?
Well, it's very recent. I just finished a Master in Environmental Studies at York University. Within that, they have a planning program that one can take there. I decided to do that. Seemed to give me knowledge about the city, learn how things work. It was a career. It was a choice that I had never thought of planning. Shows how limited my understanding of city politics and everything is, right? Everyone knows about planning. And then when I had to decide what to actually choose within that, I was scrambling for something. And I just looked at, you know, what have I been interested in the last little while? And it was transportation and transportation's role in the environment. And that was a big part of it. Way back in my undergraduate years at Simon Fraser University, I became really interested in environmental issues, sustainable development. And that has been something that's carried through my career and just life over the last 20 years. And so when I looked at what was causing greenhouse gases, transportation was a big problem.
We're just, you know, almost out of time, and I want to, I think, have another show about cycling, because there's so much to talk about. From your experience, Vivian, though, you've made a lot of career choices and have done things even prior to the master's degree. What is one thing that you'd like to share with listeners about making good choices?
Follow your interests, but know that your career may not necessarily be something that you always intended or that you love. Not everyone can do that, but do always follow your interests, whether it's within your work or outside of your work, incorporate it in there. And then lifelong learning. It really is. In my job, I just love to learn, and every job I've had, and you can take something out of every single job you have and build on that.
Right on. If people want to find out more about Transportation Options, how do they do that?
Our website is www.transportationoptions, that's with an S, .org. We also have another website for Welcome Cyclists, but you can get to that from that one.
Vivian Leon, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz. You've been listening to Career Buzz.